Welcome once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio, the one program that brings you all the latest methods and technologies for driving growth and increasing demand. With the voice of Demand Gen, David Lewis.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Demand Gen Radio. I'm your host, David Lewis, and here is where we talk about the methods and technologies for driving growth. So many times on the program, when you guys are listening, we talk about B2B, business-to-business marketing, business-to-business sales, and the technologies for B2B. And yet, a lot of you work in marketing to consumers. And even though it may be a considered purchase, not an impulse buy, we want to make sure that you hear some of the things that are happening on the B2C side of the world. And I have a wonderful guest for you today, none other than Robert Brown, who is our retail market leader at BDO Digital. Robert, hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm very good.
Appreciate the time.
How's everything down there in Southern California?
Sunny and warming. It's a nice 70 degrees in wintertime at the beach. So
it's like always 70 to 80 degrees down there.
Absolutely.
Robert and I not only share in common that, well, he lives down in Southern California, and I spent a good part of my youth growing up in Southern California, so still have some family down there, and Robert and I have never actually met face-to-face, but we spend a lot of time on a lot of calls together talking to clients and talking with our other market leaders about what's happening in B2C. And really where I want to focus our discussion today, Robert, is around the buyer's journey. We do so much mapping on the B2B space from, you know, awareness, interest, desire, action, and then, of course, once they become a customer, trying to maximize that relationship. That'd be good to get your perspective, because I know that I've seen so many decks that you have built and shared with customers that are looking to modernize their business and improve the customer journey. And that's really often a starting point for you guys, right? Talking about that experience. But maybe before we dive in, talk a little bit about your background. So, you know, for folks who don't know you, like I do.
Yeah. So I, like many product-oriented guys, always looking, you know, for building and providing products. I spent 25 years in Silicon Valley working for a number of consumer electronics brands and doing a couple of little products like a smartphone or a palm-held PC and sort of the future of electronic gaming and things. And I worked for a number of brands. You might recognize Samsung, Apple, Philips, Mitsubishi. And really, you know, with a lot of the innovation that takes place in Silicon Valley and a lot of that forward thinking in terms of technology, you know, how is technology going to be consumed in a manner where consumers understand it? Not as a gimmick, but rather as a, you know, as a needed solution for their life and their world. So a lot of times you had to rationalize that technology into a benefit. And so I spent a lot of my career, you know, doing that at the corporate level and running some very large organizations, having that great opportunity. And then, like many, you know, you have ideas about where you can take technology and you can perhaps change a little part of the world, make a little dent in the universe. And so I was a 5-time startup CEO and had some successful exits and things, but really leveraging a lot of advanced technology and artificial intelligence and machine learning and applying that to mobile. And how can we use those technologies such that I can hold devices up in front of me and my phone begins to explain the world? So I've always been focused on technology, but really rationalizing technology into a product, into a business, into a customer aha moment where people say, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I want to buy it, right? And really building businesses around that.
We talked about virtual reality the other day, you and I, and augmented reality. And I do want to get to talking about how some of the technologies that we're helping our clients with, right? This device right here, the iPhone, is, we often use it today as a browser, as a way to research products and find products and in many cases order those products. And so much has changed in hospitality and retail, you know, your areas where I am ordering on this device and I am getting a client experience in this device, but really not very many people are using it as part of the shopping experience besides words on a screen and enhancing that. So make sure we come back to that and talk to some of the innovations that are happening there. A big focus for all of you who are just getting familiar with BDO Digital, the range of our services, the work that we do for our clients, is really about modernizing their businesses and taking a look at everything from how they manufacture products to bring those products to market and engage with customers. We just have spent 2+ years, Robert, right, with COVID and a pandemic where every single business had to figure out how to modernize their business very quickly. Everything from the restaurant experience and dining experience to certainly the whole retail experience. Would love to get your perspective on, did those innovations, did the things that folks were doing to adjust to all of a sudden a worldwide pandemic serve as a catalyst for more and more modernization? Or if people now, you know, slow down, businesses slow down, are they still saying, well, God, let's not wait for something else to impact our business, but let's get ahead of this and think about the client experience more digitally?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think what we found is because, you know, COVID certainly did a number of things, you know, both good, both bad, and obviously there is a lot of good in that it shifted the business model of retail because, number one, we were certainly forced to lock down. And a lot of people thought, well, you know, the business model has changed, and so there's no longer any demand. It's quite the contrary. Demand continued to be strong. It was the problem of access to the products that we needed. That's why we saw people hoarding toilet paper and buying all these things because they weren't sure where they were going to get it again. There was a giant shift, certainly, to online e-commerce because, you know, they call it the Amazon effect, the simplicity of the technology that they have from a very high complexity had designed, but to be very simple, allowed people to move quickly to the digital environment and get the things that they needed. It didn't allow them to do what we always do as consumers, is we like to go touch and feel and browse. But what it did do is it said, hey, things like buy online, pick up in store, BOPIS, curbside pickup, whatever you want to call it, began to bridge now the sort of the on-premise purchase of retail with the online convenience of purchase with retail, kind of the Amazon effect. Now with a brand new way to say, you can order it online, and you know, it started from a safety basis. I can go pick it up as somebody brings it out to my car. But what that's done now is it's created a whole new way to service the needs of the customer. So what we found is the necessity of change, which was forced upon us by COVID, has now fostered the opportunity of change to better service the needs of the customer and build better brand value. Why should I shop here? Well, if they give me another way to shop that's more convenient to the way that I live my life and I do the things I do, that's a massive opportunity. So we're seeing a lot of the folks that had to change now becoming, and really Target does this, is they've said now with these three ways to shop, in-store, online, and sort of buy online, pick up in store, they're marketing that now as Target, America's most convenient place to shop. So in many cases, a pandemic, but with technology that allows us to continue to fulfill, now has created new and more significant opportunities to service the needs of the marketplace. And so everybody is moving in that direction and even a more rapid pace to try and get those solutions in place.
It's so much to stitch together from a technology perspective and data perspective. We talked about headless the other day, and right after we had that conversation, it was time for the family to get a new karaoke machine. So my wife said, can't we make it simpler? Like, there's too many cables and too many things to plug in. And when we have people over, like, it'd be great if we didn't have to set anything up. So I said, okay, well, let me go to Guitar Center on my mobile phone and see what they have in that area. And to your point, I went to Guitar Center. I looked under karaoke systems, of which they had very different categories. So all their data, all their products need to be properly categorized in a database so that they're searchable and findable in the way that which the buyer is thinking about it. So I went to karaoke systems, saw a range of different, and there was more filters that I could choose from, which is what's the price range or the type or the brand manufacturer, right? All that data categorization, which you and the team, you know, walk clients through those data models. So then I said, I want this system. And then that's where inventory system kicked in and said, okay, that is in available in Dublin and you can pick that up today if I wanted to order it. Following this very true story, when I got to Dublin to pick it up, they had a staffing problem. So there was no staff and the store was only open for people taking lessons. And he said, you'll come back. So there's one database that I don't think any of us thought about, that whether there would be employees in the store to be open. Now, there could have been flags in the database, whether it was a store hours and such, but that those flags were on because it was within the store hours, but they didn't have enough staff. So pretty unique pandemic. But that data mapping and thinking through all the different data elements that a buyer needs access to, whether they're going through the awareness stage, so maybe it's content around the products or services I'm interested in. Now I'm at an interest stage and I'm looking and trying to figure out what level of investment am I willing to make? Is that product, you know, what are some of the reviews, which is another database that's got to get integrated. And now I want to get the product. I've done my research. I desire it and I want to make a purchase. So I got to go through the buying experience and check inventory. And then there I show up or have it delivered to me. So talk about how all that gets mapped out from a client engagement perspective, because I think as people are looking to modernize their business, I would want to know, like, how do I think about this? How do I holistically look at my current buying experience and start to revise that? And then, okay, now I've got a whiteboard or a storyboard of the ideal customer experience and thinking about how mobile and the website and everything play a role, and then the data modeling to do that. It seems to me, modernizing a business, that's a lot to undertake. And it's not so much different from a B2B perspective, but what's often different in B2B is that so much is digitally delivered, especially in SaaS and tech, but in the CPG space and it's, you know, consumer products, a lot of work involved. How do you help a client through that modernization process?
Well, unpacking some of what you said, you knew, number one, that you could trust a device that was in your hand that, you know, it's become your companion device. And in many cases, it never leaves people's hands. It's always the first thing that they go to. So you have trusted the technology in such a manner where you knew you could go to a website, and if the website was properly serving you with the information to help you make a choice, and then giving you an ability to buy, and then giving you the ability to go pick it up, that you sort of started there. And it sounded like this particular situation, there was a number of sort of operational issues that may have begun to unravel the experience that you, you encountered, but largely through the journey that was created for you with the amalgamation of technology and sort of the physical on-premise storefront. The point being there is that, again, there are some things that we as consumers have begun to, you know, really trust. And then there are ways in which we have to rethink the business. And in many cases, we find a lot of clients don't really think about their business. What I mean by that is that they often build a strategy based upon chance. This is what we've done before. This is what we're going to do again. We know it works. Rather than really using data on how the business operates, using that you know, sort of fall down point that you experienced of getting to the store and somebody telling you, "Hey, sorry, you can't get your stuff, even though you paid for it," right? Is using data that may allow us to better react to the business rather than the business reacting to something we don't have or something we didn't think about in sort of that scenario. So we often look at two areas where businesses forget to focus on, which is, what is that customer journey? What do I intend for my customer to see? And is that based on data? And do I look at all sort of, do I go to the fringes of or the edge of the earth and say, this is the most finite scenario that could go wrong? And, you know, Should I engineer a process that solves that problem so that the value of dealing with me as a retailer is somewhat guaranteed, right? Well, is that sort of out of the realm? Well, no, Amazon's done that. You know, they've thought about their model and they've used technology to do that. So yeah. What they've done is they've engineered that journey to ensure that the customer experience is equally parallel to what they intended, because the outcome of that is revenue, margin, all the things that we want as a business. But the other thing is it's the brand value, right? It's the ability for somebody to go, I know I'm going to go back there and buy again because it's just easy. They service the needs. So we often have a challenge for clients in saying, do you really know your business? Not based upon what has transpired, but certainly what has transpired in relation to what will transpire to the changes of the market. Nobody anticipated COVID.
Right.
But the ones that were able to react quickly through technology, through understanding the needs and being able to adjust with technology as the enabler, were those that were able to thrive, where many others did not survive.
Do you find that when we're engaging with clients in the B2C space, they already have a vision for how far they want to take modernizing their business, and we're here to operationalize against that vision? Or do we have to help them think kind of beyond maybe where they are when we were engaging with them?
I think there's both. I think that people have an understanding of technology, clearly. And then there's those that have an interpretation of the understanding of technology, what I think it means, right? And in many cases, we have to unpack and understand, have them understand through education, what the technology means, what the outcomes are, and even what the limitations are. Because technology in and of itself is not the solution. Mm-hmm. Technology is the enabler with the business strategy and the tactics and the processes and the outcomes that inevitably is going to be enabled, right? Is technology is all around us.
Right.
But what we do with it, how we deploy it, how we implement it, how it's rationalized against what the business goals and objectives are, is the key to success. If you don't do that, you're deploying technology that very likely will not be used in its optimized state. Look at CRM as an example, right? We use that to track customer data, customer relationship management. But I think we could even argue that CRM might even be spelled CYA, and we can, mm-hmm. I think we know what that mm-hmm. means. And why is that? Because we tend to put data in, but what we often find is that most CRM systems have about a 30% utilization of all the features within the system, mm-hmm. because people either don't know how to use it, or the technology was put in place where the business had to conform to what the technology only allowed them to do, versus programming or customizing the technology to suit the needs of the way that they do business. And that's distinctive, because the minute you put friction in place with a new piece of technology, it's like water. People are going to go another direction and only going to utilize what they need to utilize because it fits the need. But it consuming more time, it's like, well, currently it takes me 2 steps to do something. Well, if I put new technology and it takes me 7 steps, I'll do the 2, yeah. But I'm not going to do the 5. Okay. So that's what we have to do, is we have to rationalize technology into business improvement and make sure that those are equally aligned, because then that enables us to do things at a greater velocity, at a greater scale, mm-hmm. with a greater risk aversion, a lot of things that technology allows us to do.
I think it's going to accelerate. When I think about the hospitality industry, I remember, I think it was the Intercontinental Hotel in San Francisco, that I was there for, I think it was Dreamforce. And clearly they were using geofencing and their mobile app so that when I actually parked, they knew I had arrived at the hotel. And I got a welcome SMS message welcoming me to the hotel. Then when, you know, and so again, buyer journey, right? There was more to the journey, but I'll skip it from the story of me booking the reservation and everything. Yep. else. But now I'm on premise, and I'm in the lobby. And when I checked in at the front desk, which I could have done mobile check-in or desk check-in, I was then, you know, flags in the database were activated because now they knew I had actually not only been on premise, but checked in. And I got to my room, and within 30 seconds of me arriving at my room, the telephone rang. And it was a human being welcoming me to the hotel and inviting me down to the concierge and asking about, you know, they knew I was there for business, but whether I needed any help with any business meetings. And I was blown away by the customer experience because it was so noticeable how integrated it was to data. And you said some things earlier about, we're not doing this for technology's sake and just for the data. We're doing it to improve the client experience. And I want to pivot and kind of just set some talk around the imagine what's going to happen over the next couple of years, because I'm really excited with the advances which you're all too familiar with AI and virtual reality and augmented reality. So let's talk a little bit about what those experiences might look like. And I think you're helping some of our clients architect them. So let's start off with the home. We have on our phones today a number of cameras. I've got an iPhone 12, and there's several different cameras on the back, and one of them is a LiDAR camera that very rarely gets used now. But how long is it, Robert, before we are in our homes, and whether through these are new glasses that we're putting on our phone, we scan the interior of our room. One of our clients, Matterport, that's what they do for the real estate and commercial market. But now we all have these very powerful devices. So I could see where, you know, we're coming up on the holidays and maybe we want to decorate the interior of our home differently. So we either throw on our goggles or we have our phone. We look around the environment, which scans and builds our virtual environment, knows the distances of everything in the room. And then we go shopping and enable us to take the items that are available in inventory and being marketed and place them in our actual environment to get to the client experience of like, wow, I can see how I might want to set the table with that china or with this decor, or how I might want to put decorations around that and literally be able to see those things augmented in my reality and then buy those devices. Are we a year from that? 5 years from that? Something else? I mean, how close is that next level of buying experience, you think, on the horizon for us?
We've been doing that for more than 5 years.
Wow.
In certain markets. IKEA was probably one of the early pioneers of this sort of extended reality environment where I'm taking the physical world and the virtual world, and I'm sort of creating a layering effect, right? From my screen through the camera to the room that is in front of me, but that in between of I can put a virtual thing to simulate what that environment would look like. IKEA has done that with their furniture catalog, where now you find the chair that you want, and you look in the living room and you hold your phone up and the chair appears and you can move it around, spin it around, scale it, size it, change the fabric colors. And this is stuff that was done 5, 6, 7 years ago now. Now, again, early adopter, early pioneer, it was successful, continues to be a tool that is utilized. But now other industries are beginning to adopt this. The question becomes is, how do I kind of get that experience on my device, right? How do I know about it? And so there's a marketing effort that many of these brands have to go through. But what has changed now is instead of it being an app based thing I got to put on my phone, it is now part of, because of technology is the enabler, it's now embedded into many websites that are available to us today.
Yeah.
And there's underlying technologies we could certainly go into that support that. But the idea that if I go to a website, right, and you can do this today with Lumber Liquidators, which is now called LL Flooring, and you can, you know, you hold your phone up, take a picture of your house, and then you basically can change your floor material on the fly, but you're using that native website, which is a responsive design that really the web becomes the app connected to the device. And so those hurdles we had to jump over saying, God, do I really want to download something? Or do I just use it because the convenience of going to a website on my phone
right
now allows the embedded function to be delivered? So these are innovations and evolutions of the technology. But it'll continue. Ford's doing it now. You want to put that Mustang Mach-E in your driveway and see how it looks. Change it from red to blue to black and see kind of how it balances against your house. Not to say that that's a critical decision point for buying a car, but the idea that now that power in my hand with the cameras, the accelerometers, all the other things that are there for me, the digital wallet, right, can now enable these whole new experiences. And all the while, you mentioned your ISG, your Intercontinental Hotels experience. They knew about you before you even stepped foot on premise. They'd already profiled you in terms of your booking relationship. So there's a whole journey upstream that they mapped to you that when you came with your phone, now they have the ability to offer you keyless check-in, right? Or keyless access to the room or mobile wallets in your VIP programs. It's a whole digital experience that as you're inside the property, right? Is that they're servicing you.
Yeah.
As you leave the property, and especially in an unfamiliar area, you know, where do I go to find a great Chinese? Well, imagine now taking your phone. Where do I find? And IHG now guides you to a particular restaurant that's down the street. And we, in a previous life, we did a number of those things for a bunch of hotels in San Francisco and trying to find out where do I go and tying in these other experiences and really using that data to foster new experiences about what people are doing and why. It's really an exciting time.
It is. And again, I think, you know, hey, if it's been going on for 5 years and I'm asking you when, and I consider myself a pretty early adopter, we're not certainly at mass market yet. I want to talk in a little bit about what's the difference between a company that is truly innovative, like you mentioned, Ford and Target bringing these things in and IKEA, and some companies that are laggards in this area. You know, is that leadership? Is it, we'll come back to that. I wanted to tell you about Hakkasan Group out of Las Vegas, as well as MGM. We did some phenomenal direct mail work, digital direct mail, where they have all this metadata when you stay on property of whether you go to the spa, whether you dine at the buffet or eat at the restaurants, what table games are you playing or slot machines and that type of stuff. And the direct mail, the digital direct mail and the physical direct mail that was sent was built on the fly, assembling the pictures and copy based on your persona. So we could both receive an invitation to Caesars or to a particular property in Las Vegas, in the Bellagio, and your wife may get one set of images and copy, and I get something else, even though the campaign ran at the same time, literally using metadata to customize what the piece was. And I thought, wow, I mean, this is at least 10 years ago I saw this. I'm like, we are so behind in B2B marketing. And really, you know, we talk about personas and we talk about making our content that much relevant, but oftentimes we don't get to that layer of sophistication in our marketing, even though the technology is there and certainly the methodologies are being talked about. We see far more of that in B2C, maybe because the marketing budgets are bigger, the resources are bigger. There's more outside agencies that are leveraged often in B2C than internal, so there's more resources for it. But it's really up to your imagination on how far you want to take that buying experience and tailor it to an individual. So let's come to that. So there are different types of marketers. There are different types of certainly different leaders. When do you be that agent of change, which I talked about on another podcast with Patty Remish about being an agent of change? How do you bring these big ideas forward in an organization and really try to be an innovator in client experience as opposed to waiting for other companies to figure it out and try and follow suit? Any advice there?
Well, I think certainly there are always the innovations that are they're just cool innovations, right? We often hear of products in search of markets, and there are certainly in Silicon Valley, as an example, there are lots of products in search of markets. I think for those that are really the true business leaders that are looking at their business and saying, I understand my business, number one, but how do I remain relevant in the marketplace? How do I remain relevant to my customers? How do I grow my customers, my segmentation? And certainly a better understanding of your customers is so important in doing that, that I think that, you know, you have to get away from that sort of chance strategy I mentioned earlier, using data to better understand what I would say are two sides of your business. There's the back end of your business, sort of for inside the walls of the business of the products and services and the way I source and select and price and deliver, sort of that operational side. And then on the front side of that, there's the go-to-market. How do I go to market? What do I say when I'm within the market? How do I compete against the competition? But really what we try and do certainly is bind those two together. So from the tip of the spear, all the way through the very back end of the supply chain and the fulfillment, you know, whatever endpoint you want to reference. But everything in between is connected. And as everything is in between that's connected, we're anticipating things that are going to happen. We're planning for the future, right? We're looking at reports of things that have transpired of the business over the last quarter, year, whatever it might be. But this is where AI, machine learning, other things that within the operation of the business, I can look at what has transpired. But I can use those advanced technologies to anticipate what is going to happen that gives me flexibility to adopt and adjust and have a better sense, a better pulse. So when we think about the executions in our go-to-market, the marketing strategies that we're going to go off and adopt, we can create, and I highly recommend this, is that everybody creates contingency marketing plans so that if I put a program out, based upon data that I have understood or I've anticipated, right? that it, if it falls flat on the marketplace, that I'm able to adjust and react. How many times have we seen commercials in, on TV recently? You kind of go, oh, here comes this commercial again, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not resonating with people. But because the ad buyer and the marketing CMO, they decided to put it out there, that was their campaign. I get it, but unless it becomes relevant to your audience. Now, I get the economics of marketing, right? We have to have do large ad buys and do these things on a bulk basis. But when you really think about your mobile phone analogy you talked about earlier, we as businesses now have an ability through data and through dynamic content and these infrastructures, we really can create a one-to-one marketing capability within our business at scale and at extremely low cost. Why? Because the data and my behavior in these digital experiences, whether it be a storefront or an e-commerce tool, or when I walk onto the parking lot of Target, or I begin to walk into that IHG hotel, is now they know who I am. Yeah. They know my history, but now they can deliver tailored experiences. And again, let's face it, everybody wants to be a VIP.
Right.
Now that one-to-one marketing, now that VIP, now that sense of belonging as my relationship with you as the brand, how will you service me? Okay, this time will set in motion how loyal I am for you the next time. 100%. But this is where this amalgamation of multiple characteristics within the business can be brought forth. And this is what we help in, you know, BDO. This is what we help clients do all day long in rethinking retail.
Right. You have to have a culture of innovation if you're really going to thrive in the marketplace these days. When I was on the drive home, I had dinner with a client last night. How enjoyable was that, by the way? Like, you know, to be back out in the wild and have a one-on-one dinner. And Philippe and I were talking about just a lot of changes that have happened in the business. And, you know, he who used to commute 3 days a week, hour and a half drive each way, working from home. COVID is a reminder that things can happen that is the unexpected. And I always take an approach to business of assuming that, try to just come up with all the scenarios of what could happen and how well prepared are we for that. I mean, I think we all take the internet very much for granted at this stage, that it's like water and it's never going to, you know, when you go to the spigot and you turn it on, water's there. You never expect water not to be there. And even though there's a drought in California, as you know, we're still assuming there's going to be water. That's, they're going to figure it out, so there's always water when we turn it on. But clearly, during the pandemic, people didn't think certain materials were going to be there, and they were flying off the shelves, and we have a shortage. You know, God forbid the internet goes down for an extended period of time. It will cripple the economy and business because we become so dependent on it. So we don't really have a lot of contingency plans of what to do for a period of outage. God forbid that would happen. But I think you also have to just, you know, try, you know, for those of you in marketing and this sales, be an agent of change and challenge the status quo of how the business is happening today. And if you need a North Star, I talked about this at the Integrate conference years ago when they asked me to do their keynote. I said, you know, here's how to be an agent of change. Start with the word frictionless. Have a goal of having a completely frictionless buying experience. And then if you needed part two of that is surprise and delight people. I remember when I bought a couple Blazers in Las Vegas and went in there and got the, would you like a glass of champagne? And it's like I said, who, everybody wants to feel like a VIP. Everyone wants to be important. It wasn't a bottle of water, which a lot of stores started doing several years ago. It was like, would you like a glass of champagne while you're shopping? And, you know, look, if they're going to hit you with a Blazer that's like slightly above Men's Warehouse, they're trying to enrich the buying experience and maybe even profile you to give you that. So you feel a little bit better about doing that. And I think we have to challenge ourselves, whether we're in tech or manufacturing or in retail or really any industry, and say, how do we deliver a frictionless experience to our customers? And how do we surprise and delight them through that buying experience? And that is not just digitally, but through the people that they're interacting. I made a phone call today to the state of Washington. It was a horrible experience. Sorry, state of Washington, but when I'm trying to talk to you, the phone tree and just the experience was not good. And I actually had to eventually hang up, and I'm frustrated. And if that was someone I was buying from, I certainly wouldn't go back. What do you think?
And an important point of what you just said is, right, that was your experience. So your description, right, to all of us is based upon a post-mortem experience. It happened after the fact, right? And so now that's left a taste in your mouth in terms of, you know, what to expect next time. You're going into that a bit jaded. Well, you know, there's sort of three scenarios. And you could argue this of saying, you know, you own a house and you walk up to your house and somebody says, hey, your house burned down. And you look at it and go, yeah, gee, thanks. Well, that's a postmortem event. Wouldn't it have been more important if you got a phone call and say, hey, your house is about to burn down? Maybe there's, you know, probably this is more of a California thing, right? There's a threat and I want to know and what to do about the threat or the need to respond to something prior to it happening. But there's also a middle ground that as things happen in real time, do I understand enough to make a change, right? Do I have duplicative technology that within your call that I can adjust because call quality is being monitored as part of technology and says, hey, we're below a threshold of fidelity within the call. Let us flip over to another channel. And these aren't things that are, you know, hyperbole and gee, you know, let's go boil the ocean type of thing. These are thinking about things in terms of the quality and the outcome. Because in retail, we're only as good as our last sell. In mm-hmm. hospitality, we're only as good as our last stay. In automotive buying, right, retail, we're only as good as that last car we bought. But in many cases, buying a car is the third most stressful thing we do behind marriage and childbirth, because the experiences have typically been very bad. And these are things where Ford, as an example, has changed the way they're going to do business on a go-forward basis. They're no longer going to use dealers, and dealers will become delivery centers. But these are things that, from a standpoint, that web and going to find out how much does that car really cost versus what I, you know, what I think I want to pay, all of that experience is now where the market has changed many of these businesses. But in some cases, the businesses want to change the market because they've learned from what has happened to then change what will happen.
Yeah.
Ford is a prime example. And these are really where the laggards will be separated from the legends who go off and rethink that, right? Steve Jobs is a great inspiration of mine. The mm-hmm. folks at Apple have done great, great things. But I remember a speech he gave. He went into the city council of Cupertino and says, and you've seen Apple's beautiful spaceship building, Spaceship One, right? He walks in and he goes, oh, there's this building we want to build and we need a little help, right? He simplified this and mm-hmm. to a point that people really engaged versus he threw so much at them that they were overwhelmed and the experience was horrible. Whether you're selling a plan for a building or you're selling the greatest next widget or you're servicing the needs of somebody that wants to stay in your hotel, you've got to demystify, you've got to simplify, you've got to utilize technology as the key enabler to let you go high velocity and at scale, but responsiveness to the needs of the market. And if you don't, somebody else will.
Yeah. I want to leave people with the action item of set the bar higher for your organization from a client experience, from making things frictionless. Be that agent of change to do these things. If you need guidance, you've got people like Robert Brown. Reach out to Robert on LinkedIn or reach out to him through me and talk about what your current experience is if you're on the retail side. If you're on the B2B side, we've got other great people you can talk to. But be an agent of change, challenge the status quo, and you know, really work towards surprising and delighting your customers. And if you're not doing that, you're going to lose traction. You're going to lose revenue. And if you do bring some ideas, I mean, whoever was bold enough and courageous enough to say, we're going to change the Ford dealership model significantly to be a delivery center as opposed to a buying center, those are not, you know, walked in Monday morning, here's an idea, does anybody want to do it? Like, there's a lot of planning and preparation and decisions that make it to that radical of a change. But that's the fun of in business these days. I mean, we've been given in many ways, a blank canvas to reimagine our businesses and take things to the next level. And with technology and with the power of data, I mean, I saw the Genesis offering that BDO Digital has put together and seeing what we can do and helping clients get insights through AI from their data. Powerful stuff, rather than take such educated guesswork. Let's take powerful computing and give us insights to our data. I'm excited about that new offering. that we have. So it's an exciting time to be in sales, to be in marketing, to be in product management and product marketing. Let's reimagine and build a better experience for our customers and along the way, build better products.
You mentioned the word reimagine. We could even go a little simpler down, still using the same operative word, but a lot of what we look at in the world is black and white. It's either this way or this way. And a lot of businesses operate within that realm. And status quo might be suitable, you know, for many. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I would challenge everybody to look at the gray, look at the if. What if we did this? What does it mean? The gray area, the interpretation of the opposite of the black and white. We've done it this way. Should we do it this way? Yes or no? Well, what if we did it this way? Imagine a new change. Vet that out. How do you differentiate? How do you remain relative? How do you make everybody a VIP? Focus on the gray. Focus on the if. Rationalize that to yourself. And if you do, outcomes will be plenty. Pain points or failures might be, you know, in there. But the boundaries of success are established by the failures of the past that let us establish where we need to go and continually challenge the way we need to do things. And that's what we encourage clients to do.
I learned so much of you in the short, so much from you in the short year that we've been working together. I love watching you guys present to our clients and show them the new journeys, the reimagined, show them how they can leverage technologies. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on the program, Robert. I will get back down to Southern California or get you up here to be close to the wine country. You know, there's a lot of fun to be had. All right, let me chat with you guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I hope you're enjoying getting to meet some of the other people around BDO Digital. You know, we've got a phenomenal team here with so much expertise from a marketing and sales and engineering perspective. It's fun for me, you know, just now coming up on a year since we have joined BDO Digital to see the kind of work that we're doing. The other thing I think you guys know is I am building a world-class marketing team from the ground up, ground floor. We didn't have a marketing team within BDO Digital. We didn't have our own tech stack. We don't even have our own website yet. We are still part of BDO.com/digital, but we're doing all these things. And I'll tell you, it's exciting and it's really rewarding. And I know a lot of you are building your marketing teams and building your stacks. So if you want to chat about those things, look, I'm here for you. And we are creating a lot of content around what we are doing behind the scenes to build this. And I can't wait to share it with you guys. So thanks for tuning in. It's an exciting year. It's a year of change in our economy. It's a year of change in business. And I really just, the action item, the call to action for you guys is be an agent of change and think about how you can improve your go-to-market and certainly your client experience. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Take care.
You've been listening to Demand Gen Radio, bringing you the top industry experts, thought leaders, authors, marketing technology firms, and senior marketing leaders from around the world to teach you the methods and technologies for high-performance marketing.